If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
It's a WGN radio morning show orchestra at 6:39. Just trying to wake everybody up, especially me. We're going to talk to Dr. Kevin Most here in a second, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And do I press his button here or do you? Okay, let's just do this and say good morning, Kevin. How are you doing, Doc?
Good morning, Bob. I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm getting there, getting used to the hours. We were just talking about sleep, and you're the right person to ask about this because the question came up, all these studies about how it's becoming more apparent that sleep is critical for good heart health and for other reasons. And if you can't get 7 or 8 hours a night, what if you do it in two shifts? You know, you nap for a couple and then you get six. Does that count?
Well, it's interesting when you look at it. There's two ways that you can look at sleep. One of them is what you just said, you know, a power nap during the day. You know, ask Mary Vandeville. She lives by them, actually. But, you know, a 90-minute power nap is okay. What you're talking about sounds more like segmented sleep, where you sleep for a block of time, you're awake, and then you go back and sleep for a block of time. Jury's kind of out on that one as far as how healthy it is. There's a lot of people doing it right now, but it really throws off your circadian rhythm and really can impact your health. But the power nap is not a bad idea. 90-minute nap, okay, refreshes you a little bit and gets you back. But those guys who are taking 4-hour blocks, being up for 6 hours and two in a 4-hour block, that's a little bit more difficult on your body, on your immune system, and on your heart.
So here's what I want to know. If you have a nap for an hour and then you're getting like 6 hours of sleep a night, does that mean you're getting the 7 minimum that you need?
Yeah, it's getting close to that. You know, the importance of that bigger block of time is probably more important. So, you know, if you're getting 6 hours right now as an adult, you're getting pretty close to what par is, because a lot of people are not getting the 8 hours or 9 hours that we say that they really should have. So they're getting that 6 hour block. So if you get six and you get a power nap of 90 minutes, I say you'll be doing okay for your health. Not ideal, obviously, but it's very difficult for people to even get to that 8 or 9 hour block right now that we show maximizes the health benefits of sleep.
All right, let's get to the news of the day now. Funny headline. I mean, funny to me. Many Chicago pot shops will be closed to recreational customers today. I mean, they were just swamped over the past few days. And we all heard a lot of stories, saw a lot of TV news about the sales of marijuana. But I'm curious about the health aspects. And really, can you set us straight on CBD and THC and the effects of marijuana on the body? For example, we all know how smoking is hazardous to your health and nicotine in your lungs, what that does to you. What happens when you smoke pot? Is it the same? Is it better? Is it worse?
Yeah, in most people, it's going to probably be a little bit worse. Especially people with lung disease already. If you have asthma, COPD, if you get bronchitis a lot, marijuana smoke can be very irritating and can cause inflammation. So it can cause asthmatics to have asthma attacks. It can cause those individuals with COPD to have worse bronchitis. Almost all marijuana now is unfiltered, so none of the carcinogen or toxins are taken out by any filter whatsoever. The other big thing, Bob, that we don't know, in marijuana right now, we don't have a measuring stick. The reason I say that is in cigarettes, we know that if you smoke a pack a year for 30 years, your chance of lung cancer skyrockets. It's called 30-pack year history. In marijuana, we don't know what that is because we really haven't had the opportunity to put it into a separate measuring stick, as well as have exposure over 30 years or 20 years to see what the long-term problems of this are going to be. But anybody with any lung disease should certainly talk to their doctor and say, hey, you know what, I'm considering smoking marijuana. Tell me where my guardrails are. Can I do it? Can I not? How often could I do it and still enjoy it without doing damage to my lungs? Because we know it does damage to the deep part of the lungs in some smokers.
But let me get this straight. If you don't have any lung issues, it's still worse for you than smoking a cigarette?
Absolutely. So you will get more inflammation. Just think, if you've been around anybody who smokes marijuana and smokes cigarettes, the guy who takes the first puff of a cigarette often will just be nice and calm. Often the individual who takes those first few puffs of a marijuana joint will have some coughing and irritation, and will continue to have some coughing and irritation because of the inflammation that it causes to the airways.
I want to talk to you, Doc, about CBD oil, which seems to be in everything these days, and also edibles, and how all of that affects our health. Dr. Kevin Most of Northwestern Medicine, stand by. Doc, Bob Surratt, well-known hypochondriac, happy to talk to Dr. Kevin Most of Northwestern Medicine at 6:48, continuing our chat about marijuana and CBD oil as well, which is in everything. Is that a healthy substance for us all, Doc?
Well, it's interesting, Bob. You know, since CBD oil is really the rage right now, if you look and say, okay, I'm going to look at the really great studies that have been done on CBD oil, you're not going to find too many. CBD oil has been proven in a few cases, I shouldn't say in a few, in many cases, to help with epilepsy and epileptic seizures. But besides that, the science really isn't out there and hasn't been tested enough to tell you whether it's good for inflammation, anxiety, sleep. You know, those are the big things that they're saying that they're going to be able to work with. And it's not regulated by the FDA. So until some more studies come out, it'll be really interesting. But like you said, you're going to start seeing liquor infused with CBD oil. You're going to start to see many, many more products using CBD oil.
And THC, now that's actually the substance in marijuana that gives you the high, correct?
Correct, yep.
And so when we're talking about edibles, THC in cookies and so forth, what about the effects of the THC on your body when you're having an edible? How does that work? It takes longer, because isn't it true that people get in trouble because they have a half of a cookie and they think, well, I'm not feeling anything, and then they have four more cookies and then they can't stand up.
Exactly. So if you think about it, when you smoke something, it gets into your lungs, large surface mass, very quickly absorbed. The impact is felt very quickly. When you eat something, it goes into your system, goes into your stomach. Your body then has to digest it before the THC is absorbed. It's not as immediate. As a matter of fact, it's quite a big of a lag time. So that is the concern, is one is the impact of it and how it's going to impact you. Two, you don't know what the concentration is as well in those. Now, when marijuana was legalized in Colorado, they saw a big increase in actually adolescents who got into the marijuana cookies, marijuana brownies, without even knowing that they were laced with that. So the accidental ingestion and poisoning is a big concern as we move forward now.
Talk a little bit about marijuana and pain relief. Marijuana as a sleep aid. Anything to that?
Yeah, so marijuana is pain relief. I think we're going to start to see some good studies coming out of that, which is going to be great, looking at the opioid problem that we have in this country. There's two parts to it, though. One is that it actually increases our chances for problems with surgery, and it's interesting that frequent users of marijuana may have some difficulties with anesthesia. So the anesthesiologist is going to have to know if you're a regular user of marijuana. But as far as pain relief, we have seen some great studies come out that shows that it will impact pain relief. And we're starting to really hope that we're going to see people use more recreational marijuana in place of pain relief medications and alcohol and things, opioids that really probably aren't good for your body, and yet will still give you that pain relief that you're looking for.
What do the latest studies tell us about addiction and about marijuana use when the parents are smoking or having the edibles, how that affects children?
Yeah, there's a couple things there. One is people say, well, marijuana is not an addictive medicine, but yes, it is. About 20% of people will get addicted, and addiction there is different than the addiction of cocaine and the addiction of heroin. You know, we look at addiction there and we just say that, okay, tell me what you mean by addicted, and it's mean I want to quit, but I can't quit, or I use it and I know it's going to impact my family, my friends, my work, in school, things along those lines. Is that how they will define addiction there? The bigger question was the second question that you asked, and that is, what is the impact going to be on secondhand smoke from parents who use it in front of newborns, in front of young children? Because we know that there's going to be an impact here with mental health development, but we don't even know what that impact is yet because no one's been able to do the study, because no one's going to come forward and say, yeah, I smoked in front of my child, you know, for 3 hours twice a week, and now we're going to test kids against someone who didn't do that. So the studies haven't been able to be done, but we do have concerns because we know of the impact on mental health for children who are exposed to it.
Does it concern you that we're going to have people behind the wheel high on marijuana? Because, I mean, we've got enough to worry about with crazy drivers out there and alcohol and now marijuana. How does that affect your vision and your judgment and your driving?
Yeah, it really does. And when you look at those studies have been done, and we know that, you know, it impacts judgment, impacts motor control, it impacts reaction time dramatically. The scarier thing is when it's used in combination with alcohol, which is very common, the chance of a fatal rate, you know, goes up twice. So we really are concerned. And the other thing that's going to be very difficult, you know, breathalyzers are very easy for police officers to use to show that someone is impaired. We don't have that test right now. It's being worked on. But how are we going to test if someone has used marijuana recently and that they are impaired because of marijuana? We need to make sure that we do that because we need to make sure that we're as safe as we can when traveling.
Are people going to be using marijuana like they use coffee? Because marijuana increases heart rate, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And people, it's interesting when we look at when a state changes from illegal marijuana to legal marijuana, individuals that may have used it 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, when they were in their teens and you know, adolescence and young adulthood, and then stopped using it as they got jobs and knew they would be tested and couldn't use it. Now they see, oh, I have this ability to use it again. But you have to understand the health implications of it. So when you talk about the cardiovascular, someone who used it young and didn't have any problem now uses it when they have underlying heart disease, we're going to have problems here because we know that the heart rate increases for up to 3 hours after using marijuana. We know that individuals with heart disease are going to have chest pain quicker when using marijuana just because of the strain on the heart. So it's kind of one of those things that, boy, if you have a history of heart disease or high cholesterol, make sure you talk to your doctor and let him know that you're considering using this. Because if not, you may spend a lot of time in emergency rooms after using it thinking that you're having a heart attack as well.
I'll stick to my tea, I think, as far as waking me up here in the morning. It would be much safer.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know whether you know this, Doc, but a very famous radio stunt, a disc jockey stunt back in the day, especially before a holiday weekend, would be the guy on the air would drink during his entire 4-hour shift, and then at the end of the program, you'd be able to hear what happens to somebody who has too much alcohol, and that would be a message to drive safely. So, who's going to be the first broadcaster to do that that bit with pot?
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to just see how quickly a show can get off the rails if an individual uses pot while working.
Yeah, I can do that without the pot. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, good to talk to you, Doc, and I've heard great things about you. Glad I finally got to talk to you here on the radio. We appreciate it.
Well, you take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
We will. Have a great day, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Bob.